go to Colossians chapter 3. Just to review, yesterday we studied the last few verses of chapter 2. It's talking about touch not, taste not, handle not, the rudiments of the world, etc., etc. Then it says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. A show of wisdom is an affectation. It doesn't originate from deep within. Elsewhere it says, you have masqueraded as an angel of light. Elsewhere it says, you're a hypocrite. So if what you're doing outwardly doesn't conform to what you're doing inwardly, you've got a big problem. The only way that that problem can be resolved is by transparency, which there seems to be a severe lack of these days. Hear me very carefully. If you desire to privatize your life, then this isn't the place for you. There's a million places where you can still be a Christian, and you can go and you can sit in a pew and you can watch, and you don't have to have any vulnerability. When this place started many years ago, the thing that I knew more than anything else was my own hypocrisy if left alone. If I did not have a group of people who knew everything there was to know about me, then my natural tendencies would result in an act. And I would just continue to be an actor. I would not reveal what was going on within me. And so I just sort of walked through life, even as initially as a believer. Even though to many I appeared to be a loose cannon, I knew that internally I was still a hypocrite. There's a great, God did this damnable thing to me a few days after I became a believer. 17 days after I was a believer, I was on television. A few weeks after that, I was on television almost 4 hours a day, and then 6 hours a day, including the tape things I did at night. We were the first station in America to have all-night movies, and I was the host. Nobody knew it then, but I was sleeping on the floor of the television station before they kicked me out, and I ended up under the bridge. So while I was still sleeping on the floor of the television station, the station was at Mockingbird and Lemon in the old Standard Oil building or whatever it was back there. And so I walk across the street. I'm still smoking. I go across the street to get a pack of cigarettes. And the Playboy cover that was next to the checkout stand looked attractive. So I picked it up and gave it to the clerk, ordered a pack of cigarettes. And just as the clerk was ringing up the thing, starting to ring it up, the television set was right there. And so here I come on television talking about the nighttime is the time in which your fears and your all that come out. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, he looked at me. He looked back at it. He kept going back and forth to me, to the television, to me, to the television, and then to the cigarettes. It might have been Penthouse instead of Playboy. But anyway, I calmly said, acted like I didn't see what was going on television. I calmly said, "Well, I decided I didn't want this stuff," and I turned tail with my tail between my legs and walked out of the store. I was a hypocrite. I couldn't stand the hypocrisy. It made me disgusted and totally, completely disgusted with myself. I didn't know what to do about it because it seemed powerless. I seemed powerless to do anything about that which was anti-Christ. Well, bottom line is, over the years, I found out that the only way that I can deal with my hypocrisy is you. I need a body of people around me that I need to be 100% vulnerable to, no matter what it costs me. I don't think there's anything in the world that Josanna doesn't know about me, or Pete, or Gary. Harry's starting to know me pretty good. But the people that have been here from the beginning know me inside and out. They may not like me, but the bottom line is, if you're not taking advantage of being vulnerable here so that your hypocrisy can be destroyed, then you're a fool, because then you're simply doing what he said. There's a show of wisdom in will worship. Your activities are simply of the will. You hide what's really going on, and you go to Bible study and you act like you're a Christian, but you're a hypocrite. Somebody, does that touch anybody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The reason the early church had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people, is so that each one would get to know themselves sufficiently so that hypocrisy would become intolerable. Do you understand? The natural order of your life is to be a hypocrite. You've been taught, not only are you a hypocrite by nature, but you have been taught to be a hypocrite by all of the world's standards, your parents' standards, since the beginning. Every once in a while, you may have a little light that shines that says, "Oh, well, look at me, I'm not a hypocrite." But then you just get pride in that. Commending yourself openly, to every man's conscience in the sight of God is the lot of us as a believer in this community. If that isn't something that you want to do, then you should go somewhere else. You should think about this very, very carefully. Now, I know that this has touched some of you. I choose not to do it openly this morning. But if you're not taking advantage of what's going on in the small Bible studies to make it a place of confession, a place of openness, then you're a fool. Does everybody understand me? "Oh, I can't say that. Nobody would like you." Well, nobody likes you anyway. They love you. They lay down your life for you. But if they're really walking in the Spirit, they don't like any part of your flesh. Now, this is the season to stop all hypocrisy. All seasons are the season to stop it. But especially in the days that lead up to the marriage supper of the bride, of Christ. Because, remember the parable, where the individual came into the marriage supper, but he had on the wrong garment. The only reason you're a hypocrite is because you want to maintain your own righteousness. You want to be right about something. Don't turn it off. Let's leave it going and shut the doors. Will you shut that door, John? Or Perry? And when the chief of the feast came to him and said, "Friend, why did you come in an improper garment?" He didn't know what he was talking about. So he had an excuse. Even though he had an excuse, he was thrown out in the outer darkness. But you don't have an excuse. Hypocrisy has to stop. Hypocrisy is the evidence that you're still seeking the things that are on earth. Hypocrisy is the evidence that you have not picked up the cross. Hypocrisy is the evidence that you still seek after the world. And that's fine. I don't care whether you do or not, but don't do it here. Have I made my point? Anybody have any response? Does everybody understand me? Can everybody say amen? All right. Chapter 3. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Now the word "if" there is in view of the fact that you are dead. That's, if you don't know that, then it's time for a serious discussion. If you do not know that somebody has been masquerading as you for your entire life, pulling you around, doing his will, I don't know what else can happen that you would know that. Oh, but you sit there and dwell on these things in your mind. But test your mind. Your mind has told you to be afraid of things that aren't there. It's given you real importance to things that you thought were there. It's led you astray. It's ruined your life in 100 times by following your mind. When is it going to stop? Do you still think that Christ, when he said, "Take no thought for your life," meant, well, you shouldn't really be nervous about your life, but go ahead and take thought for it? Is that what you think he meant? That's the way the modern Bible's translated. Do you think he was kidding when he said the first requirement, the first thing he said to his disciples, other than "come follow me," was "now abandon yourself completely, accept your death, and then you will follow me"? Do you think you have the strength in your mind and your will to actually be satisfactory to God? Don't you know by now that Christ is your only life? And this evil thing up here is just, his only job is to confuse you and take you away from that mystery. You know Because at least once, every one of you in this room, your obedience has been fulfilled. You knew for a split second that Christ was your life and that your only function was to abandon yourself. Every one of you, your obedience has been fulfilled. Why then don't you follow the mystery? Why do you keep breathing life into the Antichrist, the instead of Christ? By giving breath or importance to your thoughts and emotions. Now, you especially give breath to your thoughts and emotions when you keep them silent. That's where most of the life is given to the Antichrist. That's how you raise him from the deadly head wounds. Maybe I'm just so screwed up that I'm different than you are. But maybe, you know, for me, I've learned not that I don't owe my flesh, my ideas, my feelings, anything. You know, I have just as many idiotic ideas as anybody else does. I have just as many flesh feelings as anybody else does. I'm not as some suspect. I don't, as some suspect, enjoy making you mad at me. In view of the fact that you are dead with Christ, you are risen with him, listen to this. If you then be risen with Christ, you can't be risen unless you're dead, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead. It's not negotiable. This isn't, you're going to be dead someday. It says you are dead. For you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ, or in Christ, in God. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who gives us life, no. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, means be revealed, because your outer vessel is broken, when that which is within you shall be revealed, because you finally understand that this outer vessel is broken and porous and everything else, when you stop holding everything in, when Christ is revealed, when Christ, who is our life, shall be revealed, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Not someday in Beulah land when you cross the Jordan in death. Listen carefully what he said. John said this in 1 John. He said, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And every man that hath this hope in himself, remember every time the word hope is used in the Bible, it's connected with the resurrection. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself automatically, even as he is pure, even because he is pure, because his life shall appear. Paul said in Timothy, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should be abstain or be fed up with fornication." Isn't it not just talking about sex? That you be fed up with going somewhere else other than to God for your sustenance and your work and your life. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify just means agree with God. Consider dead. Finally, start living and looking from the top down instead of the bottom up. It's all done. He will live his life. He doesn't need your help. In fact, remember, his humility is so great that he will not occupy where you are. Where you are in hypocrisy. Where you are in privatizing. Where you are in your secret thoughts. Let's talk. Let's chat. Anybody touch this morning? Anybody have any response? I promise you, if you don't have any response to this sermon this early, then I doubt if there's anything that can get you off the hot seat. What the hell does that mean?
The selfish attitude that says, I'll let Christ be revealed in my life, but it's still my life.
Yeah, otherwise it's will worship. Voluntary humility. Look at me, I'm humble. Jim?
Things I would show of wisdom in will worship, and will worship looks like wisdom. I've been thinking about that. If you see somebody who's wise, you always ask if that's will worship. And that look. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where I've tried to look like I'm wise. Same thing.
I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Opinions about governments. Okay. Opinions about who's right and who's doing right in what way. You sit here and hold court, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. Because that's not of this world. I mean, that's of this world. It's not of the things above. It's not of the New Jerusalem. My concern is that you're not praying as much for the Iraqis and the terrorists as you are for President Bush. My concern is that you have no understanding of laying down and loving your enemies. Does that communicate? Does that sort of give you a hint of where?
Yeah.
I mean, I almost got sick to my stomach yesterday when I was sitting over here and you were holding court at lunch talking about the right way and all these right things about how to do this and how to do that. I mean, it's just garbage. It is as worthless as the ashes that are left over from the last cookout. We're to pray just as hard for Saddam Hussein and the terrorists as we do for our own government. We pray for all governments and those in power. We love our enemies. That's what it means to seek, and that's, I promise you, that'll give you a headache. And I just didn't have enough energy to chastise you openly. But I do have energy this morning for a little while. No. And then those of you who are not like Tom, you're the ones that sit in silent judgment. That's just lovely. Isn't it, Brian? Don't you see that's why you got bored, is because you didn't prophesy? The only reason I never get bored is I say what's there. You must know that by now. All right. Anybody else?
The last couple of nights we've been reading and studying about the sons of Aaron offering strange fire with their censers, and Korah rebellion with their censers, and next Thursday night we're going to smash the Ethrog. I don't know, something's different this year. So the picture is becoming very, very clear. Very clear.
Just remember this time when you smash it, it's the good things and the bad things.
It's tough.
Yeah, but Harry, it isn't tough.
It's not tough to do, it's tough to remember.
That's why we need each other. Michael?
You're saying something about trying to be pleasing to God in your thoughts. I thought I could do that. Change my thoughts.
Lots of luck, fella. Lots of luck, fella.
Change it from being displeasing to better or something.
Can't be done. No, there's all kinds of places you can go where they'll teach you how to do that. But what happens? They forget that your mind is cursed. There's no other way other than abandonment, other than repentance. That's why the exhortation of the greatest, you got to hear this. Christ said of this man, he is the greatest son of a woman that has ever lived. John the Baptist. The emphasis on his only message is bring forth fruit that is necessary or that brings about repentance. Anybody understand that?
Yeah, I'm remembering the first time I heard you talk about all you're doing is creating a muzzled dog. It's still
a symbolic.
Still a dog, and once you take the muzzle off, it'll bite.
He had to lose his head, too.
That's right. Should we try to identify the breeds? Let me remind you what a dog is in the scriptures. A temple prostitute, a temple whore.
You know, it's like you said earlier in Bible study, and this is what I'm thinking here, is that you really do have to be fed up with self, or I believe leading into other stuff to take effect or whatever.
You have to be a loser.
Right. And I had a problem with that when I was first time I was here.
I'm glad that problem is over.
The reason is because I had so many things, you know, in my life telling me, oh, you got so much potential, you can do this, you can do that, you can do that. And then when I went out there and tried to do this,
but do you understand from God's perspective, that means you're blessed? That means you're at the top of the heap? Because he called you from before your mother's womb and ensured that you would fail so that you would be of value to him. There's all kinds of idiots out there being successful, quote unquote. That's why it says, fret not yourself because of the self-seeker who prospers in his way. You are. You're at the top of the pyramid. You're the highest that man can go. You're the best of the best.
It doesn't seem like that a lot of times.
Well, it's because your mind is trying to tell you that's not true. Your mind is trying to keep you under, separate, alone, desperate. So why believe it? Your mind has never once been your friend. Your feelings, your emotions have never once been your friend. Not once. Does anybody, come on, somebody tell me. Tell me sometime your mind's been your friend. You must love it because you pay so much attention to it. It's like you're standing, you're just in awe of your own mind. Oh, God, I love it. All the world is wandering after their own mind. It doesn't matter whether you're in China or in Russia or Mongolia or Africa or Dallas. The entire world is wandering in awe after their own mind. And it is the most evil thing on the face of the earth. It's a mortal enemy of God, if you believe the scriptures. Now, your mind includes your emotions. That's why if you don't abandon yourself, if you don't know the meaning of repentance, then the only thing that you're capable of doing in wandering and worshiping your own mind is to try to improve. And it doesn't matter whether you become a Christian or a Muslim, you're going to try to do it better. And it's evil beyond evil. Do you understand? It's very dangerous to say you understand that.
I was just thinking about my whole life getting lots of reinforcement from others, parents, Sunday school.
Oh, you're such, yeah, I know. You're so smart. I hate when I took those stupid tests, they wanted me to join Mensa. That's like the most idiotic thing in the universe. That's the ultimate worship of the idiot. And then the irony of ironies is I was asked to speak at the annual convention of Mensa, the national convention here. Who was there?
The worst buffet I have ever seen in my life.
Who was there? Were you there?
Yeah.
Who else was there? Bojo?
No.
I think it was just...
I just made fun of him.
You're so pathetic. God.
so special. Oh, and look at all these people that are telling me I'm so special. Oh. Elimelech is my name. Look at me, I'm king. Don't you know how idiotic that is? Don't you know that in order for God's justice to be manifest, the mind has to be the first thing that goes, so that there is no basis of whether you can read or write, or whether you have an IQ of a fish or an IQ of a rock, or you have an IQ of Einstein, so that you can abandon yourself completely. Didn't take anything to do that. Oh, Tom is so special. He's so bright. His kids are so bright, and they could do so good. Oh, Kevin is so smart.
18, this female prophet prophesied over me that the scripture, he who began a good work in you, be faithful to complete it.
You should have seen the prophesies over me.
So at the time, I thought, well, that means I'm going to be
king. when I was on radio and television all the time, I've got 100 prophecies over back in my office somewhere of all of these prophecies that these little old ladies in tennis shoes that were the prophets were prophesying over me.
What I'm saying though is that was a valid prophecy, because my mind twisted it to think that it would somehow benefit me. Good work has been the destruction of the life I wanted to create.
Amen. Is everybody settled in this right now? If you don't, if you see each other not prophesying, not saying what's there, then their blood is on your hand. Commending yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If you see me not doing, and you don't say anything, I pray that you understand this. This is kind of important. We'll probably spend a little more time on this. How come Buckner always picks these days to be absent? And John.
And the helpers are gone.
I don't know. He doesn't
tell me. Now, is this cemented in everybody's mind? It's a trick, and she's the only one that caught it. All right, take it, big guy, quick, before I kill Joyce Anna.